Fires in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
All right, our usual big Monday show here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we, well, try to pick up the pieces from a 24-14 loss. Very disappointing to the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, will make his usual Monday visit to the show. We gather the roundtable, as we always do. On Mondays, it'll be Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, yours truly, digging into yesterday's game. Bernie Kosar, he'll provide his insights analysis as well. And we will, of course, take your questions, your comments that you submit to the Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages, or email daily at clevelandbrowns.com. Vic did, to me, that would be me, Vic. It's from a guy named Spencer. Says, Vic, I don't think the Browns are far off. He says, I think they don't have a lot of ability to overcome hardship with Joe Hayden out, turnovers, bad calls by inconsistent refs. Says, I think Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress keep getting receivers open deep, but Brandon Whedon hasn't found that rhythm yet. With this much youth, I think the coaching staff should be judged far more closely on the second half of the season than the first. Spencer, you make some good points, some very solid points, and I think when you take into account how young the roster is, that is not an excuse. I don't buy it. I don't, and I'm pretty sure the head coach doesn't buy it. I'm pretty sure everybody else around here. I mean, the roster, the makeup of the roster does have a lot of young players. But three games into it, you have to start seeing things that don't look like young mistakes or growing pains. But to your point, yeah, the second half of the year is probably I would say it's a it gets a little more fair, or fairer, I guess is the word, to judge how things are being done. But it is absolutely consistently a case where you've got to see improvement and progress, and that doesn't happen when you lose a game like yesterday. So that's not about improvement and progress. Cincinnati game looked that way, but we said it right along last week. You needed to punctuate it with a victory yesterday. With a game that gave you that chance to do so. And now you're in a very short week preparing for Thursday night's game at Baltimore. It doesn't get any easier. You see the Ravens. You saw them last night. And if you didn't, yep, they won a close one against the Patriots, but looked very explosive offensively in the process. And you know about that defense. So we'll see what happens with that. And we'll talk a little about that also throughout today's show because, again, it's the short week. All right, we're just getting this thing started. The head coach of the Browns will be joining us next, Pat Shurmur, as you listen to a Football Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
She's 18, straight A's. We promised,
you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Hey, Browns fans. Arby's wants you to win a ride to the dog pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four sweet tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use mobile deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Did you hear?
Did I hear? Boy, did I hear.
Just what did you hear?
That NTB is giving away tires. Two tires, to be exact.
Front tires or back tires?
I don't think it makes any difference.
All I know is that NTB is giving away two tires.
Simply buy two select in-stock name brand tires. Great names like Goodyear and others. And NTB gives you two tires for free.
You mean...
Hard to believe, but it's true. At NTB, you pay for two tires, but you get four with the purchase of alignment and road hazard protection on four tires. Of course, installation's required.
Four name brand tires for the price of two. NTB really amazes me.
Wow, how can NTB do it?
Well, because NTB is part of one of America's largest tire companies. NTB buys in volume so they can sell for less. Hey, where are you going?
To NTB to get four tires for the price of two before the sale ends. NTB. Why in the world would you shop anyplace else?
Pass the cross. Jordan Cameron to the right. Cameron lines up in tight. Little wide left. Richardson the running back. Whedon takes the snap. It's a run. It's Richardson. He bends his way at the five. Get out of the tackle. It goes left side and in for the touchdown. Correct Richardson from 6 yards out. And the Browns climb back into the game. He was all bottled up. And he kept his legs going and then scooted outside left, and it was wide open, and he goes in.
Yeah, on a day when the Browns' running game was pretty much non-existent, that was a true highlight. He made a lot out of that 6-yard run and did it himself. Trent Richardson, special talent. He showed it there. But again, it was a day when the Bills' run defense just stuffed the Browns in a big problem throughout that game. As we move on here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Pat Shermer joins us now. Coach, the first thing is, in a week like this, where I know it's important to review what happens on Sunday, but you've got such a short week to prepare for Thursday's game. So how do you balance reviewing what happened yesterday and of course, getting ready for Thursday night in Baltimore?
Well, we make the corrections quickly, of course, and then we move on to the planning for Baltimore, which, you know, we've gotten quite a bit done here in the offseason of ideas as to what we want to do this Thursday. So we're ready to go. We're used to this process. We've been through it before, and so we get the guys up and running today. We'll be out there actually practicing today, then a big practice tomorrow, and then our mock game, and then we go do it.
As you look at yesterday's game, what were some of the areas that maybe concerned you the most? I know it's all about trying to fix things in losses and try to turn it around to make sure these things don't happen a second time, but or a third time or whatever it is. But what in your mind are the key areas to focus on?
Well, I think it can be said that all the groups need to play better, and we need to do a better job of coaching. We just got to play better from the first snap to the last. I don't think our guys came out flat. I don't believe in that. I think our guys came out playing hard from the beginning. We just didn't play as efficiently as we needed to. And then when you get down by 14 points against any team, it changes things a little bit. How you think about how you have to play the game, and we can't do that.
A lot was made of how well you played offensively against the Bengals and the thought that maybe there'd be some momentum to build on that. I know that's not something you can just count on. There has to be a lot of work behind that to connect one week to the next. But were you surprised at all after such an encouraging offensive performance against the Bengals that the offense didn't have that same kind of thing going against Buffalo?
Well, there were some good things happening yesterday that you don't talk about when you don't win the game. There are some players that did some good things, but we as a team didn't get it done. So we'll always find something to try to build on. whether it's the individual performance of somebody so that they can be better the next week. And then we as a team just got to make sure we play better all around.
And from a defensive standpoint, it looked like there were obviously some issues or problems, but some of that resulting from having different people in your secondary that you would normally have, I would imagine that's still something you got to deal with. Joe Hayden's not there, and you're moving some people around. You sat down Eric Hag. Do you feel that you're still searching for some solutions within that defense that can sustain themselves?
Well, we're going to try to find the best combination of guys there. You know, and some guys played for the first time a lot yesterday, and you know, we can learn from that as we move forward. I think what's important is you know, who's up and who's down, and that doesn't mean we're blaming that person because they're down. It just means that for whatever reason that week, you know, we find a combination we want to go with.
You expect to win every game you play. When you have a roster that's as young as this one is, and that was the issue from the very beginning, 15 rookies, and we know about that, 11 second-year guys, does part of you say, I've got to expect a certain amount of that growing pain thing that no one really wants to use as an excuse, and I know you don't, but is that kind of baked into your mindset as you look at these games, or do you have to say, hey, you're playing, we're paying you to play, to win, it's just got to happen?
Well, we're a quarter of a way into this season, and in my mind, we don't have any rookies anymore. They got to go out and play, and it's not like you can sit all the guys down. You know, I think it's important that they go out and play, and we inspire them to play better. And when they make mistakes, you know, let somebody else decide whether they're rookie mistakes or not. You know, I don't think they're NFL players playing in an NFL game, and they're demanded to play well as coaches were demanded to coach well.
Pat Shurmur, head coach of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, your message, if you had one after a game like that, what was it to the players, and what's kind of the theme that you're using going forward?
Well, going into this past game, you know, I talked about with 14 games left, everything we want to do this year is still out there. And now I still think that's the case. I really do. You know, in our division, and it's about winning your division so that you can play in the playoffs. So that's the focus. And you know, there's nobody in our division that's undefeated. So we need to fight to go beat a division opponent on the road. And that's the message. And then we'll move forward from there.
Preparing for Baltimore, first of all, did you take some time to watch their game last night? And I know when you've got an upcoming opponent, you watch that game a little differently when you have that opportunity. Number one, what did you see from that, and I know you're going to study it more deeply, or you are doing so right now, but your sense of what Baltimore looks like, a team that just came off a very close but a big win over New England.
Yeah, well, it was a hard-fought game. You know, they got down 13 points, you know, similar to what we went through, and found a way to go 14-13, and then were behind, got behind in the fourth quarter, and then came back and won it. So, you know, that happens sometimes. You know, I would imagine that John will have questions as to whether he felt like his guys came out flat. And I'm going to say that he probably will say no, that they just need to play better. And they found a way to come back and tie the score. And I think that's, you know, hey, all these games are hard fought. And we anticipate that this is going to be another one of those games. And I know our guys are going to fight hard.
Their defense, we know the story, and it's kind of been the same year after year, big, physical, aggressive type of team. And that matchup has got to be a tough one to look at. But is it? How does it compare maybe to what you've been preparing for the last 3 weeks, prior 3 weeks to this game?
Well, we've played three pretty good defenses already. And so this is just another, you know, outstanding defense that you face in the NFL. So, you know, we need to get our minds right, get down there and go play. And I think that's the message, you know, and make it more about us and making sure we do all the right things.
Their offense looked very explosive last night, and it has, I think, from at least in a couple of their games so far, where Joe Flacco's found that deep ball, and he's got those receivers who are making plays. That's going to be a challenge for your secondary, for your defense as a whole.
Yeah, I think they found a way to be explosive, and I think that was a focus for them in the offseason to find a way to score more points. And so they're trying to be more explosive with their style of offense, but they're still blending in Ray Rice, who, like very few backs in this league, can take the ball to the house, but he's one of them that can. And so they've got guys on the field that can score touchdowns, and that's what makes you explosive.
Do you maintain a confidence level especially with your defense, that you can handle the kind of challenges that Joe Flacco and that passing game and Ray Rice and his unique talents as a runner and receiver can present? I mean, do you look at your defense and say, hey, despite what we've seen and maybe some of the struggles you've encountered for various reasons, that they can hold up to that challenge?
I have no doubts that we can go down there and play the defense that we need to win the football game. I have no doubts. I feel like we have the guys here. I trust our coaches and what we're asking our players to do. And I think it's important we just go down there and play.
He is Pat Shurmur, head coach of the Browns, joining us as he does each Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Up next, the roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly. The four of us will do more analysis of yesterday's game against the Bills. That and much more ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no! Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony!
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy!
Liberty's in Solon.
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get to play to take a move.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loops, 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loops signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, and too quick to say goodbye.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
71 degrees, please.
73 degrees, please.
When it comes to keeping your home warm this winter, what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with a new Rheem heating system that'll keep you warm, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits.
72 degrees and I'm in heaven.
Get professional service on all brands of equipment. Call Brian and Sons Heating and Air Conditioning, your local Rheem top contractor, at 440-585-9232 today.
Woodfire Grill on Walker Road in Avon Lake is the ideal location for drinks, dinner, or your next special occasion. Woodfire Grill serves up inventive American cuisine made from scratch and cooked over a wood fire grill, specializing in fresh products and certified Angus beef. Enjoy a relaxing night while tasting selections from the new Woodfire Grill Happy Hour menu. Check out Woodfire Grill Saturday nights for live entertainment. Call 440-653-9376 to make a reservation. Woodfire Grill on Walker Road in Avon Lake.
Hey, Cleveland, it's Jake from Jake's Garage at the corner of 252 and Sprague Road in beautiful Columbia Station.
Jake, why do you have a megaphone?
Because I have such great news I don't want to whisper.
I want to shout it as loud as I can.
You're an idiot.
That may be, but I want to thank Northeast Ohio for 5 great years in business. And to celebrate our anniversary, we're giving away a free set of tires.
For every purchase you make in September, you're entered to win.
So come on down to Jake's Garage at the corner of Route 252 and Sprague in beautiful Columbia Station and help us celebrate.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. What will get a burglar out of your house faster? A siren or the voice of a live person telling him he's been caught and the authorities are on their way? The answer is the voice. which is why Alarm Force's live two-way voice is the best way to protect your home. Only with Alarm Force, you get live two-way voice at no charge and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
2 minutes and 33 seconds to go in the quarter. Josh Gordon into the game, and Richardson is back in. The Browns are 1 out of 7 on this drive. So the ball is at the 22-yard line, 3rd down and 10. Shotgun, Whedon with 2 receivers left, 1 right. Whedon back to pass, plenty of time. Throwing, wide open, Benjamin, end zone, touchdown!
Got them both in.
Travis Benjamin, the rookie from Miami, a 22-yard strike. Whedon to Benjamin, and as Doug mentions, he got his feet in, and the Browns are even closer. It's 17-13.
All right, another of the two big highlights from yesterday's 24-14 loss to the Bills. The touchdown pass from Brandon Whedon to Travis Benjamin. Again, Jim Donovan on that call. Jim Donovan, part of our roundtable. And this segment is driven by Liberty Ford. And we have the roundtable together. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. Doug Deacon, also from that side of the team. And then Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, let's start with, I don't know where to start, Jimmy. I'm going to start, I guess, with the disappointment, because the expectation, I say it on two fronts. Cincy and the offensive performance there was hopeful.
Right.
And it was the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely.
Who looked like a team that this team could beat.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think that was the feeling going into the game, was that we're on that escalator going up and that the offensive performance was good. In Cincinnati, it's going to build, and everyone was excited to see what Trent Richardson would do, and that Brandon Whedon would carry on. But the start of the game really put them, you know, behind the eight ball all day long. I mean, in every phase of the football game, they failed offensively, defensively. Special teams gave up punt returns that put the Bills at the 42 and the 49, and then, you know, tactically, Buffalo just worked their way down the field. So that's the disappointment.
You know, Doug, Coach Shermer, we heard in his news conference, and he's on the show too, talked about, answered questions regarding the team's flat, being flat or not ready to play. And he said he doesn't believe in that. He said guys are ready to play. But when you see a team struggle out of the gate, and again, looking at it from also a player's perspective, what happens there when execution isn't occurring? And it certainly looks to the naked eye like you don't look ready to play. But if that's the case, what's missing?
No, I think they were ready to play. I think it was a lack of execution. I mean, you get a fumble on the first completion. Instead of having a very more workable second and two, you end up with a second and nine. Then you miss on a pass that you don't know if the receiver is, his route was short enough, or if he just extended it and the ball is low and you don't come up with it. I think all games, there's, you know, a couple series where, you know, at the beginning of the game, there's, you know, some butterflies and stuff like that. But there shouldn't have been. That was just a case of execution.
Yeah, you know, I said it the last three times we've gotten together. You know, playmakers got to make plays as well. And I didn't see very many broken tackles yesterday. I saw a couple more drop passes.
Yep.
You know, just the continued, you know, the continual self-inflicted wounds that this team, with no margin of error, with a young team, where you're going to have inconsistency, you just can't have it.
And the youth conversation really kind of stops.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 games into it, and Coach Shermer says this too, Tom, that you can't just blame it on being young anymore.
No, but, I mean, it's legitimate, but you're right. But,
rookies,
but you also have, you know, enough veterans on that team, and, you know, Doug has, I'm sure, been on teams that are young, and you're going to have the growing pains, but at some point, you know, you got to start winning games, you got to start executing, you got to stay on your block, you got to catch the ball.
Yeah. Well, it's a chemistry thing. I mean, you don't you don't have the chemistry to execute together. You know, you got different pieces and parts in there, but you know, you've got to execute.
You know, the other thing too, I think, is you're going to see a strategy happen here. And it's going to be right on the coin toss. I think people are going to defer on them if they win the coin toss and put that offense out on the field and say, hey, listen, I don't think they're going to move it. I think we're going to tip the field and get field position right away in the ballgame. I mean, you know, Cincinnati did it 2 weeks ago, and it worked. And, of course, the Browns ended up winning the toss yesterday.
Yeah. And, you know, it was brought up with Coach Shermer today. You know, Reggie Hodges is not kicking the ball like he did a couple of years ago.
No,
and I don't know if that Achilles injury is lingering, but he's just not been the same guy, and the coverage has been bad.
Well, I think part of that is, you know, yesterday they were trying a directional kick, and he wasn't directional kicking in the right direction.
And I'm not even sure that's what he does.
Yeah. But well, I don't think he does it very well. That's not one of his
strong points. Jim, Brandon Whedon, do we trying to assess a rookie quarterback from week to week is going to be a challenging process. There's going to be so many ups and downs. You're going to see as he sees new things or tries to explore new areas and types of throws and whatever in his game, we're getting evidence, I guess, as to what he can handle, what he can't handle, and it's still an ongoing process. But I just wonder how much of a setback yesterday is, to the extent that even though he made some throws, there were those misfires or at least the plays that didn't look so good where he was trying to go deep and that either was there enough error in the ball, was the timing right?
Yeah.
It just looks like something's missing there. And is that just a function of he's just got to work with these guys longer or what do we say?
Or I think he's just going to hit one of them. You know, I just think the longer it goes on, it becomes like even a bigger hurdle for him to get over, just to drop one over the top and get somebody. I mean, they were more pronounced open yesterday, I thought, than they were in the previous weeks. I mean, I thought Cameron was open. I thought Benjamin was by his guy. So I thought the throws were there for him. But yet, even in the full body of work yesterday, there were times I thought he looked okay. I mean, I thought he looked comfortable when he got time to throw. I thought the ball to Benjamin in the end zone was perfect. I thought the throws to Jordan Cameron were really good. He saw it. He delivered it, and it was right on the money. But I think until he lands one of those, I mean, I think once that happens, maybe it's like turnovers. Maybe they'll just come in bushels after that.
Yeah.
The one that Jordan, it almost looked like Jordan mistimed his jump a little bit as he went up. And, but, you know, Jordan had a very productive day, and I think, you know, we're going to see a lot more of Cameron. But by the same token, you miss an Alex Smith because he gives you that flexibility to be a tight end / H-back.
Mm-hmm. And they missed Massaquoi in the second half yesterday.
That's where I was going, too.
Yeah,
because he's got time. That's if there's one guy that Brandon Whedon's comfortable with of all of them, it looks like Mo Mass.
They've got a little connection, and these other passes they were talking about missing are rookie to rookie, rookie to second-year tight end who hasn't played a whole heck of a lot. So there's some execution issues that can be blamed on the youth.
And, you know, I think maybe because of that, the Massaquoi going out, I think Pat might have been limited on what he was able to do in coaching discipline in the game. Like, I think maybe he wanted to sit Greg Little a little bit yesterday for dropping the ball or maybe posing after a catch. But I think he was so limited when Massaquoi went out that, I mean, you know, you're young on young here.
Sure.
Okay, so you can't really prove your point because you're so limited. And Massaquoi's over there nursing a hamstring.
Well, and based on the reaction after that drop on the sideline, I'm not even sure they wanted Greg Little in the locker room at halftime.
This is the roundtable. It is Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Yeah, a lot of questions about Greg Little coming up today in the news conference and people bringing up the whole posing thing and attitude thing. So what's the situation there? I still see a guy who has talent, but is his head and his body connected the way they should be?
Well, and because, you know, as you just said, we're answering those questions, but we answered these same, asked these same questions last year.
Yeah.
We asked them after the preseason game where he punted the ball into the stands, you know, after he scored a touchdown. So, I mean, that's a little concerning. I think we're going to see Jordan Norwood get into the game a little bit now. I think, you know, I think that Norwood could give them the possibility that they could move some people around.
Well, I think if it's a defensive back, Sheldon Brown addresses it.
Yeah.
If it's a linebacker, DeQuell addresses it.
Right.
If it's a defensive line, Ruben addresses it.
Yeah.
If it's an offensive line, Joe Thomas addresses it. If it's a running back, I think Richardson. Who's the guy that's going to be the voice for the wide receivers?
Yeah. Well, how does that play, though, Doug? If you have a wide receiver, can an offensive lineman approach him and talk to him about that?
A player can approach him. I mean, you know, but, you know, it's like you're getting in somebody else's business, but it's really everybody's business because it's a team. Right. And, you know, somebody's got to be vocal on the offensive side, you know, and stand up and say something. I mean, even Brandon Whedon, I mean, hey, yeah, you're a rookie quarterback, but, you know, it's your ship that you're the admiral.
He's the admiral. And just for the record, I mean, Pat Shurmur said it multiple times.
Yes.
This is not going unnoticed or unattended. He's dealing with it as a coach, and really it has to be that as much as anything else. I Doug's point about hearing it from within, but the head coach says that it's being addressed.
He's been having private sessions with Greg Little since day one. Because I know, Mike Holmgren made that a point last year as well, right after training camp, to bring, make Greg Little kind of the pet project, and something's not connecting.
The players in general have addressed it. It's just a matter of you're almost at a point, do you do it with jeopardize maybe a chance of, winning because he is a productive player when he's on? Or, I mean, is it going to set you back? I think you don't start him or do something to catch his attention.
What if you do the old Gene Hackman routine in Hoosiers where the referee comes over and says, Coach, you only have four on the floor. And he says, I'll play with 10, that's my team. What if we go with 10? What if we make a statement, Vic, and go with 10?
Play a man down.
I'm not loving that one.
I like to go to film, kind of analogies.
that you do. The running game. So I'm talking about something else that just didn't go well. And we saw this. This is twice in three games where it just couldn't get started and never got any life to it. Mm. And here we are looking at what that meant to the passing game, which would be a real dilemma because the Bills could crank up their rush and as the Eagles did. And I wonder, seeing Trent Richardson play as he did against Cincinnati, and you saw the hope there, and that was a pretty big physical defensive front. Why are we seeing the running game stall as much as it did twice now?
Boy, I don't know. I'll defer to Doug on that, but I would imagine Buffalo just came in and said, listen, we're going to keep him quiet. We're going to throw
everybody's
going to.
Everybody's going to.
Well, I think so. I don't think that was achieved at 3 o'clock in the morning when he was looking at film. Yeah. I think everybody knew that. So I have to defer to you on that. No, you have the eagle eyes on that.
No, I think when Brandon hit a couple passes, all of a sudden the running game looked like we had something maybe to start to go. And yesterday with the rain and everything, it kind of took away some of your perimeter game because it's hard to get on the outside. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I'm not sure if we have an identity in the running game. Mm-hmm. We're not a team where we pull our guards to get them out in space, like we did when we had Steinbach. We're not a team that run a lot of stretch plays, real well, so we've got to get an identity in our running game. Get something that has will work for us and fits the personnel.
And we don't have that change of pace. To Doug's point, we don't have that guy that's kind of hitting the seam or whatever. Where then you run it inside and you can kind of work off each other.
And it's understandable. You want to have the ball in Trent's hands as much as possible, but it's hard when he's got it in his hands and then a defender's got his hands on him behind the line of scrimmage. Defensively, a lot of struggles there. We saw that. And, Jim, I just think that I'm not pressing any kind of a panic alarm here because I think there's still some core players who are good. Trying to overcome Joe Hayden is still going to be a problem, and two more games of that. But in general, and with Baltimore and that passing game that looked pretty scary last night, I just wonder what else can be done by Dick Geron in the chess piece movement that can make up for some things.
I don't know, Vic. I tell you, I thought Screen got a little better and more confident as the game went on. I thought he made a couple of NFL plays. At the end of the game, and I thought he, but boy, I tell you what, in the red zone, Buffalo was frighteningly open, and you worry about that happening. I worry about Ray Rice getting out on those wheel routes that he really scorched the Browns on last year. And I think Fujita and Maiava, right now just have problems out in space, and I think they get a little bit exposed out there.
Yeah, and you were playing a pretty unorthodox offense yesterday. It's not one that you do a lot. And I think the younger kids get – because, when DeQuell picked Buster, I mean – I'm going to put my money on DeQuell. Probably knew where he was supposed to be, and Buster probably has to adjust to DeQuell. But, with that said, I thought Sheldon Brown showed, how you tackle when a guy's in the open field. I mean, he came up there with a couple good open field tackles where the week before we had problems with that, and the play was, it was yards after the catch that you shouldn't have had.
So maybe these are the good things I'm going to cite. I'm going to cite that it's a short week, therefore you can't dwell on what happened yesterday. That's the team I'm talking about, right. Not us. We can dwell all we want. But that, and then the other thing is the Ravens end up winning this dramatic, emotional game, a late Sunday night game, so maybe that takes a little wind out of them, and they're not focused. I don't know. I'm reaching.
Yeah,
but
it's time to get back up at the plate. You just struck out, but you're up again. So
right.
Here we go. And hey, you know, as we've all seen over the last few years, the Browns seem to come out of nowhere when we least expect them to. So I think everybody's got to hold on to that this week.
Well, the Browns have a younger team, so I think, you know, younger guys bounce back on a short week more so than older guys. But
physical,
the Ravens have a better, very veteran defense that, you know, they don't have to make a lot of game plans because they've been doing the same thing for a long time.
Vic, this is as tough a place to play, I think, as there is in the NFL. This is a place that is really intimidating and becomes like a huge college football stadium. They have captured that atmosphere, and they feed off of that.
All right, gentlemen, the roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm getting a new truck today.
Yours is fine. Why would you put yourself through that?
I do it every 3 years, lady.
No.
Yeah. I lease from Liberty Ford every time. And right now, I can get a new F-150 Super Cab 4x4 for just $199 a month.
Well, that just sounds way too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, great time, great food, get to quick and take a move.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loops, 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loops signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, get too quick to say kaboom.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey, Cleveland, it's Jake from Jake's Garage at the corner of 252 and Sprague Road in beautiful Columbia Station.
Jake, why do you have a megaphone?
Because I have such great news I don't want to whisper.
I want to shout it as loud as I can.
You're an idiot.
That may be, but I want to thank Northeast Ohio for 5 great years in business. And to celebrate our anniversary, we're giving away a free set of tires.
For every purchase you make in September, you're entered to win.
So come on down to Jake's Garage at the corner of Route 252 and Sprague in beautiful Columbia Station and
help us celebrate.
All the model year-end sales are here, and while you're being bombarded with deal here, deal there, you should know for the real deal, look no further than Gillingham Ford. Gillingham Ford welcomes you like a member of the family, explains why and how. Gillingham Ford, home of the real deal. Check out their new simplified website with easy navigation to the points of your interest. Now, Gillingham believes it's an obligation to make every aspect of your buying your next vehicle easy and simple as possible. They integrate their three pillars of customer service, honest, fair, and open, start to finish. Just search, find, and select your options online. Next, set the appointment. Lastly, and most importantly, it's the drive. Let 150-plus years of sales team experience guide you through the best buying experience you'll ever have. They promise. Visit BobGillinghamFord.com or stop in 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma, 216-398-1300. Gillingham Ford, home of the real deal.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here, as we are every day, well, 5 days a week, talking about the Browns, and they're coming off the 24-14 loss to the Bills, getting ready right away today, tomorrow, and depart on Wednesday for Baltimore for Thursday night's game on NFL Network against the Ravens in Baltimore. And hey, Browns fans, Arby's is giving you the chance to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta and tickets to the November 4th game against Baltimore, including a VIP experience. For those that bleed orange and brown, I know you're still out there and you do, stop by your local Arby's to find out how you can ride to to the Dog Pound.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah, Bernie, Bernie.
And here he is, Bernie Kosar, joining us. Bernie, the first place I want to start actually is with how great this weekend was, having the legends, having the Browns alumni around to honor the inductions of Clarence Scott and Ernie Green into the Browns legends, and how special that was. I saw you guys on the gathered in the middle of the field, and I thought it really was an emotional time. And I know people's focus was on the game against the Bills, the fact that the Browns were losing, and I know a lot of people in that crowd weren't happy in that regard, but when they saw all you guys come there, I thought it just changed the tenor of the whole place for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I want to tell a little joke, but unfortunately it's a true story too, but from the emotional side of it, you know, thanking the Browns for putting this together this weekend and having so many guys. I mean, it was probably twice as many guys the Browns flew in than usual to spend and honor the new legends, and to be on the field and to have you know, you're thinking of the game, and we know the pain and punishment the team feels and the fans feel right now, being 0-3, what the game, the score was, what they're going through trying to get a win, and seeing how hard it is and realizing how hard it is to be successful in the NFL, to get to the NFL, let alone to win in the NFL.
Right.
And then to be like standing on the 50-yard line on the field, and you're trying to, and as we're getting older, and I don't want to be over dramatic to the listeners out there, and I'm not trying to sensationalize this, but the real bluntness and reality of it was, you know, I'm next to Kevin Mack, Leroy Kelly, I grew up watching, was on my right. So I'm in between those two. And Kevin Mack and all the stuff we did together on that field. And then Cody Rison comes up to me and says, God, I wish when we were younger, we could have appreciated it and not complained as much. And
right.
Appreciate how awesome it was and how great we were to do these things and have these memories. And it was just awesome to share those moments yesterday and to be out there. And again, maybe it is a sign of age, but to be so reflective mm-hmm. of what happened and what it really takes to get there.
Well, and you know, it is, as you said, it's about being reflective, and this is the time in our lives when we tend to do that. And here's the other thing, Bernie, you're living in the moment. You and those guys, when you played, your focus was just on playing, on winning, on doing everything possible, obviously, for the success in the field. But the job of being a quarterback, the job of being a football player, that was first and foremost. You really, and you also thought at that time that wasn't never ending. That was, you were never going to get to a point where you were standing on a field somewhere many years later looking back on it, because your mind doesn't work that way.
Well, speaking of being in the moment and speaking of being a quarterback, so that being said, so right before we came out, the fans who were there yesterday, God bless them, you know, it was raining. It was actually cold rain for this type of the year. So we're lining up in the tunnel underneath, underground, to come out before the ceremony. So speaking of living in the moment and being trying to be a leader and trying to be the quarterback, they start giving us hats and ponchos to wear so that we don't get wet. You know, as we go out onto the field.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, some of the greatest gladiators that ever played on this field, and we're all going to wear ponchos because it's a little sprinkles going on. So as a quarterback, I unilaterally yelled out to throw down the ponchos because we don't want to go out there on the field because we're supposed to be the tough guys gladiators, and we're going to show up there, bunch of guys wearing ponchos because there's a little drizzle in September.
We're not wearing any ponchos, damn it. Yeah, that's great. That's good. The tough guy deal. I love it. I love it. You made a statement. Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Okay. We've avoided it enough. Let's talk about yesterday's game, Bernie. And it was obviously very disappointing to see that performance following something that looked so encouraging the week before. against the Bengals. The offense just seemed to, if it didn't take a step back, Bernie, it certainly disconnected with what had happened a week ago in Cincy.
Well, unfortunately, I concur with you. You know, I try to look at things positively, and I want to look at things optimistically. And as I was getting ready for the game last week, I was trying to pretend there was a few things not happening. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the Browns or for the loss or for the performance or for being 0-3. But Buffalo and what they've done in the offseason, especially in their front four and their seven defensive guys, has really done a lot of good stuff. And they hadn't played very good or to their ability the first two games of the year. And I know the type of defense Dave wants, that their defensive coordinator plays, and it doesn't set up well for what we're trying to do offensively with the Browns. And I had that just bad feeling in my stomach through the course of the week, and to your point, unfortunately it materialized during the game. They were able to get some pressure with four, playing shell coverage, forcing really the Browns to try to do those 10, 12, 14 play, 70, 80-yard drives. And right now, with the inconsistencies and really not really lack of playmaking that's going on with the team, it's really hard for us with the young guys to get 10, 12, 14 good plays together to get the ball in the end zone.
What are you observing from Brandon Whedon? He looks certainly like the guy that can take the downfield shots because of the strength of his arm, but the question then becomes, okay, do you need to put more air under it at certain times than others? I know it's not just a one-way deal. The receiver has to do his part. What do you see that isn't connecting when there are these disconnects on passes, the deeper passes?
Well, the deeper passes I came from the school of thought and from the coaching that he did it a couple times a quarter. So that ends up being 8, 10, 12 times a game. And I'm not sure we're doing it that much. So when you're not doing it as much, it limits, you know, you really need to hit them when you're hitting them. And like the Travis Benjamin one early down the right sideline, sometimes you got to go up and get the ball too. I'm not trying to be a quarterback apologist and blame it on the receivers, because it goes both ways. But very rarely in the league today does the ball end up in your hip pocket, drop in your lap, and you make the play. A lot of times you got to go up and get it. So being a little, it would help a little more aggressive going for the ball. And then the timing of it seems to be, he's got such a good strong arm that, and again, being a rookie, you'd like to probably get these throws off a good half count, split second earlier to get the ball coming out of their break, as opposed to when they're probably into the route a little more, where the DBs are able to close on the ball, or the DBs have length in the play where it's an extra 5 or 10 yards down the field where it gets a little too deeper and guys have a time to close on the play.
And when you look at, once again, this was twice out of three games where the running game is going nowhere, and essentially that just opens so much up for the pass rush. It happened against Philadelphia and about the same average, a couple yards per carry for Trent Richardson. Yeah, he had the nice touchdown run yesterday, a six-yarder, did a whole lot on his own, but many times he was caught behind the line of scrimmage. He had almost no chance to get going. And when the running game is that ineffective, obviously it's going to make you one-dimensional and allow that defense to have such an edge when it comes to defending the pass.
Yeah, excellent point, unfortunately. The running game, and I'm not trying to make excuses all for Trent Richardson, and I'm not trying to throw it on the line, because I thought majority of the game yesterday, the pass protection was probably pretty good, especially considering some of the athletes that Buffalo has on their front four. But in terms of getting a push and driving the D-line back, opening up holes at the line of scrimmage into the defensive side, Our line really didn't do that. So in turn, before, as Trent Richardson was getting the ball two before, he's having to make cuts 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, behind where he really wants to, and the timing of the plays are so effective that that makes the play ineffective.
Yeah. Well, we'll see with a short week now, Bernie, how this team can maybe turn things around against the Ravens team. I'm sure you watched them last night, their win over the Patriots. Just some thoughts on getting this compressed week together and get this team ready to play another game against a, an outstanding opponent.
Well, probably, fortunately, the football gods went the right way for the Ravens last night. Coach Belichick, I think, is probably having an aneurysm today with some of the calls that went the way they went. But Baltimore ends up getting a win. So hopefully they're taking things a little lightly in this short week and hopefully thinking about a few days off as opposed to Thursday night.
All right, that's what we got to hang our hats on. Okay, I'll go with it, whatever we got. Bernie, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, Vic.
Right, he is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
An Emmy of Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Well, she's 18, straight A's. We promised,
you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
At Biljack, we know your dog is an important member of your family. Since 1947, we've been committed to providing only the highest quality nutrition and the absolute best-tasting dog food. Biljack is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns, the biggest dogs in town. And like the Browns, Biljack is a hometown favorite made right here in Medina, Ohio. So pick up a bag of Biljack frozen dog food today. Biljack will make a visible difference in your dog's appearance, and your dog will love the taste, guaranteed. Available at your local Discount Drug Mart.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association Member FDIC.
At Dave & Buster's, Sunday football is a big deal, a really big deal, a colossal, massive, gigantic deal. And that's just the TVs. Dave & Buster's is the perfect place to catch the game every Sunday because it's packed with massive screens for epic football action everywhere you look. When you want to watch the big game, you have to hit the big screens so you can catch every touchdown, tackle, and Hail Mary pass in its almost life-size glory. Even better, the Sunday deals are pretty huge, too, with serious savings on beer and appetizers. Score big at Dave & Buster's every Sunday. Learn more at DaveAndBusters.com. See store for details.
First Energy Solutions is proud to power Ohio. And to say thanks, we're giving away $1 million in prizes. Enter at thanksamillionohio.com for a chance to win money for you, your schools, and your business. And find out how you can also save on electricity for years to come. Go to thanksamillionohio.com to enter and learn about our money-saving plans. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. Game ends October 31st, 2012. Prizes and donations collectively total $1 million. See complete official rules at thanksamillionohio.com. Sponsored by First Energy Solutions at FES.com.
I think I got a cold.
Well, it's going around.
It wasn't going around. It was coming straight at me.
Like it had runny nose radar?
There was some runny nose radar, a sinus sneak attack, and an all-out congestion blitz.
Kaboom!
I've been hit.
We've got a man down.
Wait, how are you still up at Adam?
Target Pharmacy.
Target Pharmacy?
Target Pharmacy.
Target Pharmacy. Swing by today for a daily dose of cough and cold counterattack.
Man, I love your F-150. Can I borrow it?
Why? Because it's tougher than yours and gets better mileage?
Well, yeah, and I want to ask Allie out on a date.
You mean Allie here at the coffee shop?
Yeah.
She won't go out with you.
Why not?
Because you called her Allie, like Stan and Allie. Just think Allie, like Allie Cat or Bowling Allie.
Allie Cat, Bowling Allie.
Hi, guys. Allie, two black coffees to go?
Please.
Hey, Bowling Allie, want to go to the Allie Cat with me?
What's his problem?
Didn't work, did it?
No.
For a great deal on F-150, see your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Football Monday edition. Your questions, your comments, you submit them to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, the Browns Daily Twitter page, Browns_daily, the handle on that. Send them via email, daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Voicemail works too, 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. This is email from Greg. He says, hi, Vic. Listen to you every week. Love your show. Thank you. He says, how would you address season ticket holders on this important question? Quarterback is the most important position in the NFL, and all home games take on an added importance. So please address why, Greg asks, people should pay to see Brandon Whedon after two home games throw one touchdown pass against six interceptions with a passer rating of in the 30s roughly. Again, the media stated all preseason, Greg goes on, that the offensive line was a team strength and Whedon's arm was so good he would make his receivers better. I welcome the opportunity to be educated by you on this important question, which the team should be addressing to paying ticket holders. All right, fair enough, Greg. And I'll answer it this way. The best quarterback the Browns have is under center. I'll say that again. The best quarterback the Browns have is under center. The most talented guy they have is under center at that position. Best arm, best accuracy, and in terms of what's your points about stats and what's not been done, there's nothing I'm going to say that will disagree with you not seeing two sterling efforts that make you excited about the fact that Brandon Whedon is there as the quarterback. But here are why I think these things are happening. One, in both games you refer to, the Browns had their two worst rushing performances. And, of course, that's two bad rushing performances out of three. And I think that contributed. I think his receiving group has really been one guy that's consistently been in sync with him. His name is Mohamed Masqua. He's hurt now. He left yesterday's game early. Whedon is a better quarterback when he has that guy to throw to, a guy that he can connect with. He should have more. I do think eventually Travis Benjamin becomes more of that player. Josh Gordon is supposed to be. That's what he was drafted in the second round of the supplemental draft for. Haven't seen evidence that gives me that belief that he's going to get there yet. So that's to come, I guess, or whatever. Greg Little, the inconsistency there, and you heard us discuss it on the roundtable. And Jordan Cameron, who has, I think, will play a bigger role as this goes on, but needs to, and needs to be out there and needs to contribute in a bigger way. He needs to have those chances. Shannon via Twitter, our play calling and personnel decisions, puts in parentheses, sitting Brandon Jackson, reasons for our losses. I would say as a whole, when you lose, a lot of things contribute to losses. And I don't think Pat Shurmur and the coaching staff will take bows for any of the losses. You know, hell, we did a great job and, everybody else screwed up. That's not the approach. I think it's everybody's, and if you're selling the message that we're all in this together, which is what they do as coaches, then I think you have to be as accountable as players are. So sure, is every play perfectly called? No. But I do think there have been more right calls than wrong calls. And as far as the personnel decisions go, you know, with matchups and other variables that you take into account, these decisions aren't arrived at willy-nilly. They're in the minds of the coaching staff, there's good reasons behind them based on what they see on tape and what they see in studying the opponent. That's how you get there. Miss Phenom via Twitter, with varying levels of productivity, how do the Browns execute well enough to defeat the Ravens Thursday night? Well, they need to, again, focus on getting the running game going, which sounds like a very tall order against that Ravens defense. But I think it can happen. I saw the Patriots do it to some degree.
Certainly saw it happen in that earlier game against Cincinnati. So it's got to happen. They've got to be able to, the Browns got to be able to get that rolling. And just, play some good defense. Joe Flacco and company look tough. Want to thank Pat Shurmur, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Bernie Kosar, Drew Boatner, Steve Dole, Matt Fontana sitting in for Dave DiNatale, our producer tonight. Stick around for Buckeye Roundtable next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.